the congressional leader of the 3rd District here on Long Island. You know him well, Tom Suozzi, nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here on this holiday Monday. Sir, how are you?
Hey, Jay, how's it going?
Going okay. Getting ready for a very interesting week, hopefully a smooth week. In the nation's capital, Congressman, give me your perspective as far as January the 6th. Were you in the building that dreadful day?
Yeah, I was in the chambers and was there when they whisked Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader Hoyer off the floor and some others, and were told to get the gas mask out from under my seat. And they then came and locked the doors, and we could hear people banging on the doors, and we're told to get under our seats, and they started to evacuate the people from the floor and started to evacuate us from the gallery, and heard what I thought was gunshots of people trying to break down the door, the main chamber door where the president walks through, and says, when they come, see, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States, people were banging through the glass of that door, and Capitol Police had their weapons drawn, and people put a barricade up in front of that door. The floor had been evacuated now, and I was still up on the gallery. I was the furthest away from the evacuation point, so I was one of the last people to leave. First, I checked the doors up top in the gallery to make sure they were locked where I was, and then started to snake my way around the gallery, and I heard the actual gunshot when that woman was killed in the back in the speaker's lobby. Police radios rang out, shots fired in the Capitol, shots fired in the Capitol, everybody get down. And then there were about 20 of us still in the chamber. They wouldn't let us out because we weren't sure what was going on out in the hallway. A lot of yelling and people not sure which way to go. Probably about 5 or 10 minutes later, went out into the hallway, and there were a bunch of rioters on the floor with the guns trained on them by Capitol Police. Then we went through a bunch of labyrinth of tunnels and over to a secure location. And, you know, found out how much had actually happened that day. Later left that location. I snuck out, actually, to go see what happened in the Capitol. And it was really awful to see all the glass broken and the windows broken and then the tear gas powder all over the place. And it was very, very upsetting. And my main goal was to make sure we got back to the Capitol that night to make sure we voted on the certification of the election, but we couldn't let this slip into the next day. So we went back after the Capitol was secured about 8 o'clock at night. A lot of cleaning had been done. And was there till 3:45, 3:41 in the morning when they announced that the election had been certified.
And I'm Suozzi with us.
Yeah. It's a very, very sad day for the country.
No question. Tremendous perspective and recollection. When you look back, Congressman, and, you know, we're 12 days out almost, or today's what, the 18th, so yeah, 12 days. When you look back on that day, and I'm sure you were thinking, you know, gas masks, put them on, under the seats, you know, doors locked. I'm sure you had, I mean, your thought process had to be going a mile a minute. But where do you think the dropping of the ball took place? Why wasn't there enough security? What was your mental intellect telling you as far as why is this occurring right now? This is the U.S. Capitol building in the United States of America. What has happened here? What was your thinking, your mindset, as you took a glimpse out, you saw what was going on, the breaking of the windows and everything else, the firing of shots? What were you thinking from a security standpoint?
You know, I think that nobody expected something like that could happen in the United States of America. And, you know, we've all been around big crowds before and people protesting and people angry, but nobody ever expected it to be something like this. And I think that this was orchestrated in advance. People knew where to go. They knew where certain offices were. They knew where vulnerable points were. This was a planned attack. And I don't think that the Capitol Police and the Sergeant of Arms handled it properly. And, you know, there was very poor coordination, I think. I think it was, you know, the idea that the president was saying things that was actually egging people on. Nobody would really expect that that would happen in our country. So I think that some bad mistakes, but I'm not going to second guess people because, you know, I would have never thought that would happen. I think that, you know, now we've got more troops surrounding the Capitol than we have in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it's a sad time in our country. We've hit bottom, I think, and I'm ready to start moving forward. I can't wait for January 20th to get here and to start moving back to the United States of America. We need to understand that people are very divided. You know, I've talked on your show many times before about working against this division, trying to understand each other, trying to work with each other, trying to understand that our lives are very different in different parts of the country. And we need to go back to basic values about the individual worth of human beings, and about truth, and about nonviolence, and about democracy. And we've taken those things for granted. I remember when I was growing up, I would think, you know, my father immigrated from Italy, my grandparents came over from Italy, they went through the Depression, they went through World War II. You know, I think about the Kennedy years and Martin Luther King. I said, what's the big thing I'm going to go through in my life? Well, it's here now.
You're right.
And, we got to figure out what we're going to do to make the world a better place. And we have to really recognize that this is a struggle between coronavirus and between the violence and between the lack of understanding and the manipulation of social media and cable news. And we have got to figure out how we can get back to basic values of truth and justice and the individual worth of human beings. All men and women are created equal. And what we can do to recreate a society where if you work hard, you make enough money so you can live a decent life. There's for too many people in our country, that's not happening.
Yeah. Congressman Tom Suozzi with us for a couple of minutes. You know, you're looking at Washington right now with 25,000, give or take, of the troops. You have U.S. Marshals there. You got the Capitol Police. You got other enforcement agencies. It's got to be just an incredible optic at this point in time, something we have never seen as far as our country is concerned. But
I was sent an article last night that people are concerned about whether or not people have been radicalized who are within the National Guard. You know, how do we know that there won't be an attack from within on the 20th? How do we know people haven't been affected by QAnon and other conspiracy theories, radical efforts, people who are members of the National Guard? So there's a lot of vetting going on of the actual National Guard members right now. That's a very scary time in our history.
Yes, FBI doing the job right now of the vetting process. You know, there's been a lot of back and forth as far as going back to that day and that vote, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, as far as the situation of certification and objections and everything else. I think I'm correct in saying that you had voted as far as after that day, as far as the impeachment process was concerned for this president. Second time, first time in U.S. history, a U.S. president went under that scope of two impeachments. And there's been a lot of discussion, Congressman, whether maybe to just let things lie as they are and let him leave and let this new administration deal with the problems at hand. There are plenty. Did the thought ever come across your mind as far as maybe going the other way as far as the vote was concerned?
You know, if you can't impeach the president for what he did here, you can't impeach any president. And it's difficult. There's a lot of downsides to it. I'm concerned about the division. I'm concerned about how fast it's moving. I'm concerned about the fact that he will not actually be removed because the Senate won't act in time. I'm concerned about precedents. I'm concerned about all those things. But the reality is that, you know, this was a god-awful thing that the president did. And if you can't impeach a president for this, you can't impeach a president for anything. And this is not a time for any half measures. So I'll follow the lead of Vice President Biden and soon to be President Biden. You know, we want to get him moving with his administration and don't want to be distracted in his efforts to go after coronavirus and get the economy moving again and deal with the different crises we face in our country. But we have to hold this president accountable. It can't be that you can do this in the United States of America and not be held accountable for it. There has to be consequences to this type of action.
Congressman Tom Suozzi with us. You mentioned the coronavirus. That is going to take prior one, I would imagine, from Wednesday on with this new administration. You know, you look at 400,000 Americans perishing, nearly that number. You look at the caseloads here. You look at around the planet right now with 2 million people being afflicted and dying from COVID-19, Congressman. Why the lack thereof, supply, demand? I know the promise is made by the end of the year, the 20 million doses. We have not seen that. Why have we bungled this thing to the point where we just can't get enough of this medicine out to the people right now?
You know, I don't want to pile on, but it's clearly the president. He's completely failed in this. He has not made addressing the coronavirus a priority. He did not use the Defense Production Act so that we could increase the amount of production of the virus vaccines. There was distribution from the federal government to the states, but no coordination thereafter. There's been absolutely no coordination between the federal government and the states. This has just been a completely botched handling of coronavirus from the very beginning. First, calling it a hoax. Second, just downplaying it, not even making a big deal about wearing masks. This has been completely botched by the president. And, you know, when I was younger, I would have never said it because it sounds so simplistic, but leadership matters. And I think the people are going to be very surprised about Joe Biden when he takes the office. Everybody talks about he's old and, you know, he's not that great a speaker and blah, blah, blah. I think people are going to be shocked at him bringing people together and just bringing competence back by bringing good people into government. And we're going to see some really dramatic turnarounds in our country. And my hopes are actually very, very high for this administration because I just think there's a lot of competent people and they're going to put things in order as far as the priorities we need to address in our country, like the coronavirus, the economy, the economic and racial inequality in our country, and climate change. And we're going to hit those things, and it's going to really be a new day in our country. And the thing about this president-elect is he's going to work very hard at getting people to work with each other and not being the president for the Democrats, but the president for all the people.
And one last thing, and working together is definitely the key, and of course, assuming the role of a majority leader will be that of Chuck Schumer. Do you sense that we will be able to get the next chapter of relief out to the American people in a somewhat smoother fashion? Do you think there'll be any obstacles? What's your sense going forward as far as this next bill, which is going to get into a lot of categories of help here?
Well, I think there'll be obstacles like there are in normal political environments, but I don't think there'll be the sabotage that there's been before this. So I think that we'll get a stimulus package done. I think we'll get it done relatively quickly to address a lot of these issues, including state and local aid. My big concern for all of us here on Long Island is getting the SALT deduction back. That's really my big priority. And we need President-elect Biden and Schumer and Pelosi to all be on board to get that done. So that's going to be a big job for us on Long Island and New York to fight for that.
Congressman, we can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes here. I know you're busy and getting ready for a very big week in the nation's capital. You stay safe now, and we'll talk to you soon. How's that?
Jay, thanks so much. Appreciate it.